Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, certified transformation coach, nurse, fitness trainer, educator, speaker, and best-selling author. As you know, we're in the last quarter of 2019, and soon we're in 2020, and we need to get ready for our taxes for 2019. So today, I'm going to have a very special guest on with me, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her till she is online here with me. Anyways, former IRS audit supervisor Nellie Williams, the IRS insider, has a heart for the small business owner. For over 35 years, Nellie has helped entrepreneurs, coaches, and small business owners pay their lowest legal tax and still sleep at night. She has provided superior services to thousands of clients with tax return preparations, audit representation, estate planning, and small business consulting. She is a frequent lecturer and keynote speaker, a past president of the Arizona Society and Central Arizona Chapter of Enrolled Agents, a graduate fellow of the National Association of Enrolled Agents National Tax Practice Institute, and a founding member of the Arizona Chapter of the National Association of Tax Professionals. She was proudly a charter member of the Board of Directors for the Arizona Forum for Improvement of Taxation. She was honored by the IRS as their National Tax Forum in Las Vegas when chosen Arizona's Exemplary Electronic Return Originator in 1999. She had embraced e-filing in 1986. Nellie's unique talents, education, and dedication to exceed her clients' expectations have led her to create BulletproofYourTax.com. Her goal is to share all of her insider secrets on how to protect yourself and avoid an IRS tax audit with as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible. And on top of this, she is also a number one best-selling author of Your Amazing Itty Bitty Tax Audit Prevention Book, 15 Essential Steps to Keep You from Being Audited, available on Amazon.com. So, yeah, that's pretty awesome. It's quite an accomplishment, and I can tell you, it really serves as well to have somebody who knows what they're doing. So let me see if I can contact her because I don't see her yet. So I have also a certified IRS agent, and it is amazing on how well that goes. Let me see what I can do. Maybe something just came up and she had a little glitch. That's all possible, you know. And I think we're going to make two or three episodes out of this because there's so much information. Let me see if I can do this here and get her to join me. Just a second, please. There we go. And now I'm just going to let her know that I'm on. Okay. So now we'll see that she's going to be here any minute. So we get to benefit on the wonderful information that she has to share. So, yeah, we have, we're in the last quarter of this year. And the sooner we start preparing for it and are aware of what needs to be done, the better off we are. So I'm going to give it another couple more minutes. And if I don't see her, then we'll just have to reschedule this one, because sometimes things do happen and I don't want to make anybody feel bad, because that's just life that happens. And it's just always good to definitely, you know, work with the flow, with the system. So that's about it. So let's see. All right, still nothing. And I don't know. oh man, that's part of life. It is so much fun. Anyway, it is definitely worth it to listen to her when she comes on. I don't know what happened. I hope she's all right. Next week, we're going to have our aging brain. And the week after, we're going to have Mindful Eating Institute, somebody from there to help us work a little bit. And as you know, that everything we do is actually for our health and wellness, be it mental, physical, and whatnot. So let me see. Okay, I think my friend just came on. Are you on?
Hello.
I can barely
Denise?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, you have noise in the background. I can't hear you.
Denise, can you hear me now?
Yeah, but you need to make sure there's no noise in the background. It all gets recorded. Okay. All right. Are you there?
I'm here. Is everything clear?
Okay. Yeah, now it's good. Okay. Oh, man, where's that beeping coming in? All right.
So sorry. I'm on my cell phone. I'm in my quiet office. I had trouble connecting on the phone.
Well, that's fine. Uh-oh. That beeping is not going to be too good. Do you want to call back in?
I will do that if this line will answer. I'll call again.
Okay. Let's do that. Let's try that again. So we're almost ready to go. So it's just get rid of those technical difficulties. And okay. So let's see this.
Hear me now?
Yeah.
Good morning,
Denise.
Can
hear you.
Good morning.
What?
All right.
Yay! That's good for a Thursday morning. So, anyways, listeners, this is now my friend Nellie, who is on here, and I just gave you her biography and what an important and amazing person she is. And now I'm going to start asking Nellie some questions to prepare you for 2020 with your taxes. So, Nellie, how did you even get started with the IRS, and what possessed you to work for them?
Actually, Denise, I never intended to work for them. I was applying for a job with U.S. Customs, and I aced, and it was back when you had to take a test, and I aced it, and I knew they'd be looking for me for an interview, and I got this letter from the IRS, and I thought, I'm going to put this on the bottom of my mail. I don't want to open it. I was scared to death, just like everyone else. But when I eventually figured it out, they wanted to interview me. It wasn't to talk to me about my tax returns. It was to talk to me about a job. And I thought, how did you get my application? Well, that's how I found out that the United States Customs and the Internal Revenue Service are both part of the Department of Treasury. So that,
wow.
Yeah. And so I thought, I don't want to work for the IRS. I want to work for the Customs Department, but I'll go to the IRS interview just for experience on a federal interview panel. And at the end of the interview, I heard myself saying, when do I start? And I thought, what? But it was a great accident that led to my purpose. And in the process, I was didn't know that I was signing up for 4 audits of my own tax returns because the IRS doesn't want to hire any tax deadbeats. So I got to learn with straight hands. Yeah.
Let me see. Well, oh, man, it's starting again. This is not good. Let's see if we can make it through a few more questions, though, and then we're going to go later and go from there. Maybe let me see if I can close this one out. Maybe it's going to – I just – the first one that you dialed, I just did a hang up. It did not – oh, now it's going to hang up. So hopefully it will work. All right. So my next question to you is actually, how long were you with them? That is the IRS or the other one that you wanted to work for?
Yeah, I never did go to work for the Customs Department. And I worked for the IRS for 5 years because I learned during my training that if I worked for them for 5 years, I could qualify for what's known as enrolled agent status. And I am an enrolled agent. I'm an agent for my clients, and I work with the IRS on their behalf. So,
and I am so glad you are. Okay, go ahead.
I also learned from other people on the job that cautioned me, if you give them more than 5 years, they'll have you for life. And
oh, wow.
I think that's because, yeah, people get used to the cushion of the employment and looking for the increase in salaries and the benefits that you get and the fact that, you know, you're working for the government. You really have to do something bad to get yourself fired. Well, that's not my culture.
No. You finish what you started and you're giving it your best time, right?
Yeah, and now I've learned so much about what the average person needs to know to protect themselves that I want to make sure everybody knows how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's cool.
So thank you.
What kind of skills did you develop?
I learned about interviewing. I learned how to have a conversation with someone and ask the right questions so I got the answer that I needed. And oftentimes, the person, you know, it's like when you see on the television shows, like Perry Mason and stuff, if you act as your own attorney, you're asking for trouble because you don't know the importance of the question or the importance of your answer. So I learned how to ask the questions that I could get the answer I was looking for, not to manipulate the answer, but to get to the truth. And that's what an audit's all about, is to get to the truth of your tax return. So
that's true. That's true. I think I told you that I have an enrolled agent as my person. I've known him a lot longer than you. Otherwise, you'd be the one. But he's been helping us. Oh, you're welcome. He's been helping us tremendously to go. Oh my gosh, to go to back doors and find the, you know, the problems and solve them before they hit the IRS to make sure that everything is okay and we have smooth sailing, which is not always the case, but usually it's pretty good. And we have had other agents before who were not enrolled, and honestly, they don't know as much as the enrolled agents do. So thank you very much for being one of those lovely enrolled agents.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Oh, yeah. What do you have to do when the IRS thinks you are guilty?
Well, they do. When the IRS sends you a letter, they are already presuming you are guilty, and you must prove yourself innocent. And you do that by responding to their questions and providing them with the documents that they're asking for. And I always say you want to answer the question. Don't give them anything more. Don't answer the question they have not asked. Don't dig a hole for yourself. If you're being audited, it's not as much fun anymore to represent my clients as it was in the beginning, because most of the audits are now done by correspondence. They're no longer face-to-face interviews. unless you have a business, and then it could be at your business location that they conduct this interview. And that's nerve-wracking for anybody.
So. Yeah, I do have a friend who has been audited, and she's been answering every question. She's been attending every meeting, and every time she goes, there's more questions. And I think it's been going on for almost close to 2 years with her now. And I go, wow, this is crazy. Yeah. So,
and how much stress is that?
It is so stressful. And she is actually having some health issues. And that on top of the stress and everything else, that's not fun. So we'd rather just start working with somebody who knows what they're doing and get the proper guidance to make it through. So that's why I actually wanted you here to tell the people what you can do for them and how you can prepare them and their taxes to make sure they don't have to go through 2 years of agonizing and answering questions and more questions and more questions. So what's the longest that you've ever had to, that you ever had to work with somebody to defend them? You know, with since the IRS's thing is guilty until proven innocent, which is the opposite of what we do with the court, innocent until proven guilty.
What
is the longest that it took for you to help somebody out and make sure that they were not guilty, if they weren't guilty?
With the correspondence examinations now, they're much longer than they used to be in person, because in person, I could take care of it in one interview because I would have everything that the auditor was looking for or that the agent was looking for, because I knew what they wanted and I knew the client was not going to have to come back with more. But dealing with the correspondence audits, you have to mail the documents and you have to wait for them to look at them and get back with you. And that automatically builds in about 2 months. So it could be 3 months before a case is resolved. And if you don't have everything from at the beginning, then there's an inquiry for more information, or they say, okay, you didn't give us what we wanted. This is disallowed, because the favorite phrase that the IRS auditors like to use was, when in doubt, throw it out. Well, no, we don't want my deductions being thrown out. You want to keep every deduction that you paid for, because they do cost you money. And my clients who come in and say, oh, Nellie, I need more deductions, I'm saying, no, you don't. Because if you spend, for easy math, if you spend $1,000 on something that you think you want for your business, and it's going to save you 25% tax, then you're still out $750. Whereas if instead of spending $1,000 on something that you really don't need, just because you want a deduction, if instead you spend $250 in tax, you're still ahead by $750 by not incurring that $1,000 expense. Does that make sense to you, Denise?
That's actually a great way to look at it. So quite often, not spending money to get a better discount saves you money because you didn't have to spend it in the first place.
Exactly. Exactly.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's stuff that many of us don't think about, because we just see the numbers. We know where the cutoff is. If we're in the 30% bracket, 50% bracket, or 75 or whatever it is. And so we're trying to go from there, not knowing what all the ramifications are. So by you sharing that, that's going to open our eyes, I hope. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I remember when I started with my enrolled agent, he didn't like me having everything in shoeboxed. No, I had it in shoeboxed, which is a company that copies all your receipts and puts them in files and stuff. And he wasn't too crazy about it, because he didn't want to have to go in. And when I worked Mary Kay, we had to have everything categorized. Every expense had to go in one area or another. And that you have way too many categories. The IRS does not care. The IRS cares that whatever you have is correct, but not how many categories you have. So eliminating some. And he's done well by us, but then comes the shoebox, not the company, but the regular one where before I had 5 years in, and I just gave him the whole shoebox and said, do with it whatever you need to do. That was a different accountant. And that probably worked 10, 15 years ago, but now it's not anymore. Is that correct?
Well, the IRS, if you're going in to prove your deductions to an auditor and you dump off a pile of records or a garbage bag full or a shoebox full of papers and say, because you're angry and you don't want to deal with it and you want to punish the IRS, and say, here, figure it out, auditor, they're going to say, no, you know, you need to organize this for us. And
yeah.
They used to give us a chance. I used to give them one opportunity to get it straight and give it back to me as an auditor. Because that was not my job to get them organized. It was the auditor's job is to determine has the correct amount of tax been paid. Their job is not to collect more tax or to assess more tax. It's to determine on this voluntary tax return that we file, meaning we don't have the choice, do we file it or do we don't. We volunteer how much income did we make. We volunteer how many deductions we want to take. But we also have to be able to prove that. And the IRS knows how much you made. They've got all the paying people report to the IRS on your W-2 or your 1099. So the IRS knows how much income went your way. It's the taxpayer's job to be honest and report it all so that the IRS does not have any mismatching complication, and then to take their legitimate deductions. So
that makes sense.
It's very,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so you actually already answered the question on how categorizing is important, because it is. So you know exactly if this actually fits in, if you're supposed to deduct it or not. Sometimes it's better not to deduct something and just, you know, then you don't raise suspicion, correct?
Exactly. And I know, Denise, that you're all about health and wellness for your clients. And in my job as a professional tax preparer and enrolled agent who represents clients, the biggest thing, I've got clients right now who are still on extension because they're afraid to come in and see me. And I'm their friend. They just don't want to deal with their papers. They don't want to deal with the problem of filing the taxes. But so all this tax business, it creates a lot of stress. And if you can't prove all your deductions in an audit, all this stress, you're impacting your family, you're impacting your business. It's going to cost you money. It can cost you relationships. We don't need this. We need to zen out through this tax business. You know, we want to be XYZ, you know, tax and zen.
I so agree.
Yeah. So I am currently working on creating a relaxation tape for anybody who wants to spend 30 minutes and relax and listen and let me help them through my meditation to eliminate anxious thoughts and have a more calm life.
Wow, that's awesome. That is
they don't
so
really
awesome.
Go together, do they?
Wow.
Taxes and calmness.
No, but you know what? You hit the nail right on the head when you said that I'm all about health. And yes, I am all about healthy body, healthy mind, and healthy finances. And you stressed it already that when you're having problems with the taxes because of neglect, because of fear, because of whatever reason, you put more stress, not just on your mind, but also on your body, and then you get sick. And when you get sick, you need to spend more money on the doctor and on the medications. And it's actually a catch-22. It does not stop. And therefore, it is very important that we know what we're doing, that we have the correct person helping us with our taxes, somebody who really, truly understands what needs to be done. And then it's not going to be that stressful. And then we do get to save money that we otherwise would have spent on the hospital, heart attack, stroke. I mean, stress induces all those things. And so that's why we're in the last quarter of 2019, as I said in the intro. And soon we need to start thinking about our 2019 taxes as soon as we hit the 2020, which is in less than 90 days. And I go, oh my gosh, this is the perfect time to talk about it. Because we need to prepare mentally and everything else. So let me see. Okay, what can you tell us about the IRS, how it works? What are the people like? So I think that's what the people of the IRS are like.
When people used to ask me, what do you do? I used to tell them I work for the largest accounting firm in the country because I didn't want them to know I worked for the IRS. Then they wouldn't want to talk with me, just to have a conversation. So it is the only government agency that can bring in money for the government to spend, because everybody else spends the money. The IRS brings in the money. And I look at the IRS like, these are the people. They don't pass the laws. Congress does that. But they have to enforce the laws, just like a police officer on the streets where you live. They enforce the laws. They don't make the laws. And individuals are the people working for this agency. Some of them are nice people. Some of them are grumpy people. Some of them have been there too long, and they need to retire. And we are losing a lot of seasoned employees due to natural attrition, you know, getting older, retiring, leaving the service. We used to call it the service, not the IRS. So when you're talking with someone, you want to establish a rapport and be on good footing with them, even though they're out to determine, did you pay the right amount of tax? They don't always have the best attitude. Sometimes they are belligerent and demanding, but you can work around that depending on how nice you are. So, it's all about how you're dealing with people.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, people skills are not always on top of everything else. I mean, I know my husband used to have some issues with dealing with people. He's learned a lot over the last almost 40 years that we've been together. But it's just something that I think everybody should learn, how to deal with people and listen twice as much than talk, just to make sure that, you know, that we really know what we're talking about or what we hear, or ask questions for clarification instead of assuming stuff. And so it's the same with the IRS. I mean, when they come calling, what power do we have? Actually none, right? We just need to provide the information they want.
Correct. No power whatsoever.
Wow.
But you do have power when you're preparing your tax return to not stretch the boundaries. Just do the right thing when you start out. It's the one time of year where you can be honest with yourself. And that's the best thing. Don't push it just because you think you need deductions. Report the truth. If you didn't pay in enough, well, then you know better for next year. And it's a lesson.
Yeah, it is. And the thing is, what I've learned over my many years of life, when you tell the truth, you don't get caught in a lie. Because
correct.
When you tell the truth, it's always going to be the truth. Even if you use a different word here and there, the meaning, the context is still the very same. But when you lie, you don't know what you lied about. And you're really going to get caught in a big tangle there. And so we don't want to do that, especially not with the IRS. Because they don't give up till they have what they need. And they're tenacious. And I think
they
should be in so many ways.
And if you lie, they have ways of punishing you for lying It could be that you're a tax. There's a difference between being a tax avoider, which is legal, and a tax evader, which is not legal. They can put you in jail. They can take your house. They can take your business. They can punish you badly. You can lose all your money. You can lose your families because of this. And it's that's not the way you want to live. It's not good for your heart. It's not good for your soul. So I'm a very different auditor.
Wow. So, okay, we did. So you said already we can do audits via correspondence, but it takes a little bit longer. And what I noticed, a friend I was talking about, she sent the things in on time, and quite often they said they haven't gotten it yet. And they were the ones who made the meetings, the calls, and said when to be next on the call again. They, yes, the IRS, and she was. And they go, well, we did not get your information. We can't do it. We need to postpone it. And I go, man, how is that working? Do they put things at the bottom of the pile too, just like you and I and many others do? Or is that just because they don't get everything as they were supposed to get it? Because, I mean, I have not gotten my newspaper yet with the sales for yesterday. It's probably coming today or tomorrow, and the sale is over. So that's what I'm saying. The post office does not always deliver when they're supposed to. And how do they know what they need to deliver and what not? So can we hold the IRS responsible for that?
No, because they're waiting to receive what you said you sent. And that makes it very important that you do not send original documents, only send copies so that you retain your original documents, because you need to copy it again. And even if you send it certified, where they have to sign for it, that doesn't indicate what's inside the envelope or the package. It just means that they signed the green card that said they got the mail that you sent. It doesn't say that what's inside.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Cool. Plus, it could really be lost. It's a huge agency, and you know, you've got the post office that delivers it to the building, and then you've got the building post office that delivers it to the departments. It's a huge agency, and they've got divisions all over the country. It's my understanding that they're going to be closing a couple of offices that I'm used to dealing with, and that always makes it difficult to keep track of, okay, where does it go next? Who's going to be
right
tomorrow? Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. I think it takes a lot of willpower and strong nerves for the IRS. I don't think I could do it. I love working with people, but numbers and things like that, that's not my forte, though I can multiply all that, but it's not the same. So let's see. Okay, you already answered that question. Only give the answer to the specific questions they ask. Don't volunteer more information because you open doors for more questioning. Can they expand the examination, new issues, and other years? How does that work?
And the answer to all those questions is yes, they can. If you answer a question that makes them ask a new question, and if you're not being able to verify what you claimed this year or the year that they're examining, then they might want to look at the following year, because audits are never timely, meaning the tax return that we just filed is not the one that they're going to be auditing. Right now, they're auditing 2 years ago or a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they could expand it to another year. They could expand it. Oh, well, if you're claiming this deduction on this form, what did you claim over here on this other form? Let's take a look over there and ask you some more questions. And that's why you want a representative, to be able to try to avoid all these additional questions. Does that mean that my clients are never expanded in an audit? No, it doesn't. But it means that I can probably guess that, okay, we're going to have trouble in this area. And when I'm talking about these clients, these are clients that somebody else did the return or they prepared their own and they came to me because they're in trouble. Does that mean that none of my tax clients get audited? No, every once in a while there's a question that arises, but very few get further inquiry.
Wow, cool. And I think you already kind of answered the next difference between negligence and gross omission, avoiding paying taxes. So I think you hinted on that one, right?
Well, it's okay to make an honest mistake and say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm sorry I put down the wrong number, or, oh, I didn't realize this receipt belonged to a different year. I was sorry. An honest mistake. That's an oops. But if you are deliberate in trying to claim things that are not deductible or take things in a year they don't belong in, that can be negligent. And if it's too egregious, then you're going to be saying, hey, IRS, be sure to make sure you assess that penalty for errors, you know, because I'm a guilty party. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to admit they're guilty of anything, right?
Right.
Wow, that's cool. So, yeah, I think since we're having those beeping issues and you went quite deep into those first 12 questions, I think we're going to call it quits for today after I'm going to close out. And next time, hopefully, we won't have that beeping because I've never had that before. It's a new one for me. And I don't really like it. It's hard on my ears. I think this is really, really great information. I did tell them that you're a best-selling author of your itty-bitty tax audit prevention book. And I gave them the title, and it was on Amazon. If they want to get a hold of you, they can email you at nelly@bulletproofyourtaxes.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. Bulletproofyourtaxes.com.
Okay. And you also have a website that's the same, www.bulletproofyourtaxes.com.
Correct.
That's correct, too? Okay. Awesome.
Yes.
Is there anything you want to offer your guests for listening in? Something,
yes,
you know,
like,
that's...
I would like to offer them a free opportunity to consult with me should they need help so that we could identify, can I help them? Do they need the benefit of a representative? Do they need the help that I can offer them? And that would be a free 15-minute consultation.
Awesome. That's going to be worthwhile. So, listeners, please make sure you sit down first and figure out the questions you have so you can spend a meaningful 15 minutes with Nelly, because that is a lot of time to answer good questions and to help you for this year's taxes. So definitely do that. I think the best way is probably to email the questions so Nelly can look them over and then get back to you and include your phone number in the email so Nelly can get back to you either via email or phone number. Does that sound okay with you, Miss Nelly?
It does. Okay. And I want to make sure people understand when they're emailing me, it's Nelly, N-E-L-L-I-E, @bulletproofyourtaxes.com.
Okay. And I do have actually that in the transcript of the show. So you just need
to
highlight it and then put it in the URL. I could not hyperlink it. I'm sorry about that. But if you just highlight it and put it over or copy it from the transcript, that'd be perfect. So, yeah, next week is going to be our aging brain. And the following week is going to be about the Healthy Eating Institute, so we can learn a few more things. And I am just really looking forward to serving you guys with information that is helpful and valuable. I also have an offer, a 30-minute free health assessment to see who needs help in what area, be it mindset or healthy body or healthy finances or whatnot. I can help you with that. And you can email me at dythompson, that's thomson, at gmail.com. And make sure you put BTR in the subject line so I can get it out of spam, because all my first emails go into spam. Or you can voicemail or text me at 562-335-4956. And I said voicemail or text. I do not answer the phone unless I have a scheduled call. But I will get back with you within 24 to 48 hours. So I just want to thank you, Nellie, from the bottom of my heart for being on. And we're going to talk more so we can give a quick overview on this one and go on with some more information in a few weeks. Is that all right with you?
Thank you, Denise. I'd love to.
All right. So I wish everybody a most wonderful weekend. Until next week, stay healthy, happy, and empowered.